This is Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
our new life begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Talk To Me, the official podcast of Metal Nexus. Make sure to head over to MetalNexus.net for all your news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of the Talk To Me podcast. Special guest this week is Skinny from Mushroomhead. And yes, I had the former drummer of Slipknot last week and the current drummer of Mushroomhead this week. So that was by chance. That was not by design. I thought it was a pretty cool coincidence. I got offered the interviews on the same day. How does that even happen? Oh, world, stop messing with me. But they do have a great new DVD coming out soon called Volume 3. I got to check out part of it. It is fantastic, and if you're a Mushroomhead or you're just into amazingly stunning visuals, make sure to check out their new DVD. Before we get into everything this week, I actually did some stuff this week. What's up with that? I know these intros have been short and sweet lately, but I actually went out and left the house this week, and I got to see the Smashing Pumpkins, and even though I'm not the hugest Smashing Pumpkins fan, what a fantastic show. The sound guy of that show was the absolute MVP. If you have a chance to go see him, I definitely would suggest you going to see Smashing Pumpkins. Like I said before, not necessarily my favorite band. I even have some like PTSD, because back in the 90s when they run Headbangers Ball, I was wanting to watch some more Carcass videos and Deicide videos and Morbid Angel videos, and then they would randomly a Smashing Pumpkins video. I don't want to see that in my Headbangers Ball, so I think I've always held a little bit of a grudge against bands like Blind Melon and Smashing Pumpkins and Soundgarden for sneaking into my Headbangers Ball. Get out! You got the other 20-whatever hours of the day in MTV back then. But yeah, man, what a fantastic show. This is going to sound really strange, but you could watch the guitar player's hands and hear the notes they were playing. And that's hard to do in an arena show, because they played the giant KFC Yum Center Arena here in Louisville, Kentucky, and they put on one hell of a show. Billy's voice sounded great. The visuals were great. The props and stuff they had going on. They put some time and effort into this, and even though it might not be to the scale of the Guns N' Roses reunion, getting James Iha back in the band for this tour makes it special, and you should definitely go and check it out. So, Billy Corgan, good job. I know you needed to hear that from me. As always, guys, the podcast is brought to you by Good Company with Bowling. That is our good friend down in Atlanta, Scott Bowling. So make sure to check out Good Company, scottgoodcompany.com, or just search it out on YouTube. The archives of his show are so fantastic. You've got Rich Ward from Stuck Mojo and Fozzy. You've got Clint Lowry and LeJon Witherspoon of Seven Dust. I just saw that he posted some photos of his Eddie Trunk interview that he did the other day, and a couple of other great interviews he has in the can that are about to come out. So make sure to check out Good Company with Bowling with our good friend Scott Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia. And we will be seeing Scott at the Rockin' Pot Expo 2, Nashville, Tennessee, August 25th at the Nashville Palace. That's going to be a blast.
Still love it loud? So do we. Rockin' Pod returns to Nashville on Saturday, August 25th. Over 25 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Vinyl and memorabilia dealers selling the best in rock merchandise. And awesome rock musicians and personalities participating in signing sessions and on-stage panel discussions throughout the day. Special guests include current and former members of Korn, Kiss, Angel, Winger, Loudness, Accept, Bang Tango, Kick Tracy, as well as producers that have worked with Slayer, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, Seven Dust, and many more. More guests being added weekly. Don't miss your chance to be part of an awesome celebration of all things rock. Rockin' Pod takes place at the legendary Nashville Palace, August 25th, 2018. More details available at rockinpod.com. That's ROCKNPOD.com. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo, brought to you by Blind Tiger Record Club. Club, School of Rock Nashville, and School of Rock Franklin, a DBG Productions event.
And if you guys go and check me out at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, I will be doing an on-stage live Talk to Me episode with Head from Korn. That's going to be awesome, talking about his new documentary and whatever else I feel like talking about. And again, about last week's episode with Joey Jordison, thank you to Blabbermouth and Metal Injection for running some articles on that. And always make sure to check out and keep in touch with Talk to Me on MetalNexus.net. And make sure and stick around to after the interview and after the song, because Rob Rivera is going to have his pick from the kit, but he's also got some non-point news in there, so make sure to listen for that. So we will get through all that. I will talk to you afterwards. Enjoy my conversation with Skinny from Mushroomhead. Josh Toomey with Talk to Me Podcast. How you doing, man?
Excellent. How are you today?
Fantastic, man. Just getting home from work.
Right on. I'm actually headed into the studio now. We've got our own facility, from recording to an area where we do all the mask making and wardrobe and all that dumb shit. I've got to head over there and grab some wardrobe. The Cleveland Agora just did it. They're doing their grand reopening, and tonight's like their big media party about it. And they dumped like $3 million into the place over the last few months.
Oh, wow.
They really renovated it back to, you know, its old theater roots. And all the photos and shit I saw look really good. But yeah, a couple of us got invited for the red carpet thing, so I got to go find a outfit and a mask to wear. You know, you can't show up without a mask on, because everyone's like, who's this nerd,
right? You know? That is the one nice thing, and I guess we'll start with that, because you know, the few times I've played in masks, as in, like, you know, maybe a Halloween show or something here and there, was the most liberating shows I've ever played. So I mean, you know, you doing it for your entire career, you know, how have you enjoyed being behind a mask?
Yeah, without a doubt, I absolutely enjoy it. Every time I put it on, I, you know, become somewhat of a little kid again. It's Halloween every night, you know.
Absolutely.
you just get a different vibe, you know. You're a completely different character when you've got it on, and it's just something that's never left, you know, any of us for all these years, man. We just still really enjoy, you know, dressing up and, you know, basically making monster movies and playing Halloween every day.
Right. Well, that's and you'll never age. You know, you'll
right.
That's the one nice thing about a mask too, or even, yeah. Even Kiss in their makeup, you know, like Gene still looks, you know, a little bit heavier, but looks pretty much the same as he did in the '70s.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's one of those things that just, it's almost timeless, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The other part there, you know, Cleveland has this amazing musical history. I couldn't even imagine growing up there, because, you know, you always hear stories of, you know, well, Rush broke in Cleveland because of DJ there. And, you know, there's always like a Hello Cleveland type atmosphere about music.
And absolutely.
The hardcore scene, you guys, Chimera, you know, just so much stuff came out of Cleveland. You know, what's in the water up there?
Yeah, there's definitely something going on for sure. There is a shitload of talent in this city. It's always been a really, really good musical town. You know, I started back in the late 80s in bands, and even then there was always just really good, focused musicians and hardworking bands. I think that's really, really the bottom end of it. So that blue collar, hardworking bunch of guys, man, it's just, or girls, whatever, want to just sit down and do something, you know, for themselves. As, you know, artists, I think it's really important to make sure you're creating for yourself, not creating for the end result of fame or money, because, you know, then you've kind of lost the point. You know, we still do this, and I get up every day, you know, because I love to create. I'm totally addicted to the creation of everything, from videos to music to art. And, you know, I think that that's the longevity behind a band like this, and even a lot of people out of the Cleveland area. You know, like I said, it's back to that the blue collar, the grassroots of, you know, we're doing it for ourselves, and as long as we like it, then we're going to keep doing it. And, you know, by some streak of luck, a bunch of other people seem to like what we do too. So,
right.
So we get to share it with the world, you know?
Band started in what, 92? Is that what you, yeah, that what you yep, guys go with?
Yeah, 92. First show was 93, October 23rd. And that is going to be coming up here, and it'll be our 25th year anniversary starts October 23rd. So 2019 will be a new album in the spring. Hopefully, you know, like, if everything works out, it'll be like March, April. And then, you know, they will do a new album. It will celebrate 25 years to, you know, and launch a new album, and then obviously do a lot of touring. So that's kind of the plan for next year. And, you know, the big one is just, like I said, celebrating the 25 years, you know.
Would you guys do something for 25 years, you know, pull back old members or do, you know, big Cleveland show or anything like that?
You know, we're still throwing around a lot of ideas. You know, every year we do the, you know, annual Halloween show at the Agora. So this year, like I said, marks the 20th year. So actually next year, you know, is like the actual celebration of it.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're, you know, we're a big revolving door. And Mushroom Head's always been evolving as well. So members leaving and coming back and just coming to do certain shows, that's always, you know, up for grabs. Whoever wants to do whatever kind of ideas we can come up with, depending on scheduling and, you know, logistics for everyone, you know, current members, ex-members, whatever. But we've, like I said, we've always had an open door policy over here. So, don't be surprised if you do see people coming back or doing some things, you know?
Yeah, I think Edsel Dope said almost the same exact thing on here. He's like, once you've been in Dope once, you're welcome to come back anytime, basically.
Yeah, you're in it for life, you know, and I think we've been through 12 members at this point, maybe 13 rotations. So it's just, yeah, we just keep going. Like I said, the one constant in Mushroomhead's career is the change, you know. It is constantly evolving. It is the only constant thing you can look forward to. Like, you guarantee with this band, something's going to change. It's going to be slightly different. We're going to tweak it, whether, you know, it was part of the plan or not. You know, it's just part of life. It's how it goes. So here we are, art imitating life or life imitating art. We're not sure, but we're definitely having fun doing it.
So what's it been like for you to kind of go through all the changes, you know, sitting back there behind the kit and the ever evolving lineup in front of you?
It's always really cool. I'm personally, as an artist, I'm a fan of the unknown. When things get a little too predictable, everyone seems to get really lazy. So, you know, that unknown, you know, it's like diving into that dark, cold water. You know, you're not sure what's going to be under there, but you just got to find out, you know. So it's always been, it's an exciting time for me every time we start doing some changes, because I don't know the direction it's going. Sure, I know where I want it, where to, you know, kind of point and, you know, focus the end result. But, you know, it's like that vacation, you know, you see it online and, you know, you picture in your head, and then you get there and you're like, this is completely different, but still really cool. You know, you gotta, you know, take your own assessment. You can't just, you know, think, well, I know what this is all going to be about. You know, it's never what you truly plan. And I, like I said, as an artist and musician, I tend to like the unknown.
You know, basically at one point, I guess three original members, I think we're down to what, two? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, myself and Stitch are the last of the Mohicans.
So,
and then me being the founder, I always, you know, get the brunt of everything. So I've seen it all, because Stitch didn't join until 2000. So I had a quick 7 years without him. And quick side note on Stitch, he was actually a fan who helped me do a lot of the backdrops and set design early in the 90s. And then he became our t-shirt guy, and then he became part of the band.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing they always say, you know, if you're on tour with a band or you're friends with the band, make sure you know the band's catalog, just in case, you know, there's always somebody going down. You know, if you're a bass tech,
without it,
you better know the bass parts too.
That's exactly it, man. You know, I can't say how many times someone's broken a foot or an arm or sprained a wrist and couldn't finish the tour. So someone else jumped in, and, you know, with us, you throw a mask on them and people, it's not that they don't care. They actually tend to like the change. I heard it compared to a blue man, heavy metal blue man meets Mortal Kombat. I was like, that's pretty good.
I like it.
Just because, you know, people like the change. They want to see the new characters, and then they like when old characters come back with a slightly different look. I was like, that is pretty spot on. Heavy Metal Blue Man meets Mortal Kombat. I like that. So that's kind of where we're at with it today, too.
So kind of on a serious note, I mean, obviously losing guitar player, bass player, you know, random drummer here and there, or, you know, a water drummer, you know, losing Jeffrey Nothing, obviously the fans are either way on it and stuff. But I mean, how does that feel for you? Because losing a singer in a band is always the one member that's kind of hard to replace, you know?
Yeah, we did it with J-Man back in 2004, you know, and of course everyone, you know, fans get very emotional about bands, you know, and so does anyone that, you know, they listen to a band long enough, you becomes part of you, you know, so, you know, it's one of those things where, again, you know, I'm very, very much on the looking forward to the change and the unknown type of thing. So, you know, like I said, we've been through this so many times. It truly doesn't affect anything. I'm sure the writing, you know, will continue to be, you know, it's out there. The shrimp stuff is not like a one size fits all. You'll have, you know, three singers of shit. On the last time, I think we had six singers total from guest singers. We had two guest singers. And then I think I ended up on two songs as well. Cause I do a lot of writing, so I'll put the part down and then we'll have someone, you know, an actual singer or one of the people that it was written for do the part. And after a while, sometimes like QWERTY, the whole first 16 bars, that's on me. And I did it. I just laid it down. Cause here's the idea. And it was for Waylon to do. And after we had tracked it and done a bunch of stuff, everyone was like, man, I don't know if I got demoitis or not, but I like Skinny's vocal better. So my original idea take ended up on the album. So, you know, we've been through change, and I'm actually, like I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing what we get out of the new guy, Stevie Rockhorse. He's a monster. An amazing bass player too. A lot of people don't know that about Stevie. Tom Schaffner, the new guitar player, and Stevie Rockhorse, like I said, he's also a bass player. He's our new singer. They did guitar and bass for J-Man's other project with Gene Hoagland, Pitch Black Forecast.
Oh, wow.
So those two, you know, are already, they're from the area. I've known them forever. They did, I want to say, an album and an EP with Jay and Gene. So Jay's obviously got a really good rapport with them too. But back to Stevie being able to play bass and sing, it's really cool because he's damn near got perfect pitch. So, you know, when he plays a note, he can damn near sing the same thing unless it's out of his range. So, you know, this time around, we've got some heavy hitters playing with us. So the writing is, it's definitely taken a step up, you know, and it has to, because, you know, like a lot of eyes are on us right now. There's a big change happening and, you know, people want to see where it goes. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to it.
If you can play with Gene Hoagland, I think you're on par with a lot of bass players.
Without a doubt. And, you know, like I said, both of those guys, they're great dudes. We've known them forever. So they understand, you know, the Mushroom Head vibe. I don't want to say sound because, you know, we don't really have a telltale actual sound. Our songs are so different from song to song. That's what I was getting at about the last album had so many singers on it. Some, we have three singers on it. Some have one song has one singer on it. You know what I mean? Like it changes so much that, I'm not really worried about it, but I am looking forward to it.
You know, I'm sure you've talked about this or thought about this in the past, but I mean, will there be a day that you're not in Mushroom Head?
There's been a lot of shows that, I've already missed, whether it was to illness or court or, and you know, people really don't even notice so much, unless you make a big deal about it and say, oh, Skinny's not going to be on this tour or whatever. It's definitely one of those types of things that I've talked about and, thought through that. Yes, this thing will continue to have you without me. Whether I'm running it, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain type of thing. Whether I'm running it from back home or on the road doing front of house and I'm not on the stage anymore, whatever, I'm sure going to be involved in it one way or another. But yeah, it's bigger than any one person at this point. And you know, I think it's something that deserves to continue in the future, because it is, like we had said, a heavy metal blue man or a right. Mortal Kombat. You know, it's very character based. It's very, you know, it's about the entertainment more so than just a band, if you will. It's become a little bit more than just a heavy metal outfit, if you will.
Nice. Yeah, the I saw you guys a couple of years ago with Madam Mayhem on that tour.
Oh,
Good friends of Billy Gray, and I interviewed him that night, and he's like, dude, you got to stick around for Mushroom Head and watch. He kept saying, talking about these water drums. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then finally when I saw him, man, I mean, whose idea was it for the water drums? Because they're pretty visually stunning to watch.
Yeah, right on. Thank you. Yeah, that was myself and one of our old set designers, Dave Brooks, who came up with that. And a number of years ago, it was going to be for one of the bigger shows, like an Agora type of Halloween show or whatever. And we were working on, he kept pushing me to do it. Cause he's a lighting designer too, set designer, lighting designer. He kept pushing me to do a drum solo. I don't want to do a drum solo. I just, as a drummer, just, I don't know. I just don't like, you know, all eyes on me. It's just, I don't know. I just don't like drum solos so much. I go watch them and I love drummers and I love drumming, but just, I don't know, something about it. Anyway, so I was like, we got to come up with something different. So the original water drum setup was only one drum and it was made for the center of the stage. So our old drum tech, Little Dan, was going to play actual drums and it was going to be more of a extra percussion thing.
Okay.
And there was a couple small drums on each side and then the one in the middle would light up and, you know, we play with a bunch of different waters, putting like glow in the dark dye in it. Oh, we played with everything. Nothing seemed to work as well as just straight water because you could light it from underneath and change any color. So back to your question, the original thing was myself and our old set designer, Dave Brooks. And it was made for me to just do one little part. Once we built it and I videotaped it and watched, you know, how the effects look with all the different, I was like, man, that's really cool. We need two of them. And on each side, and I need to hire another drummer. Like, it just went right fucking, it just blew up right then and there. So we never actually even did the single drum and the little drum solo thing that it was made for. It just blew up after that. And we never looked back. Once we put those things up there, it's been part of the show for 12 years now or something. And maybe even more, maybe it's more like 15 years. It's been a minute. I can't even tell you when the first show with the water drums was, but man, it definitely was a game changer. It added a lot of excitement. And I think, you know, that's what people really want when they come out to these shows. They want entertained. Are you not entertained?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing about a band that wears masks, you know, you guys, and there are other bands obviously. And, you know, that's the one thing, man. There's just so much going on stage that, you know, there's never a dull moment. You know, you can watch, you know, stage right. You can watch stage left. You can look over here. Oh, there's a guy coming out over there. I mean, there's just so much going on that you're not going to be not entertained at a Mushroom Head show.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's my main thing. We still try to go to a lot of shows and see, you know, obviously you got to see what everyone else is doing, what kind of, you know, light packages they're bringing, how their sound is, what kind of backdrops, you know, like, I mean, it's what we do. So we want to see what other people are doing as well. And, you know, an hour and a half of four dudes standing up there playing metal, it kind of, it gets dragging. It's like you're waiting for, you know, some sort of pyro or some sort of rising, you know, hydraulic riser. You're waiting for something. And when it doesn't happen, it's like, man, should we leave early and beat the traffic? You know, and I hate to say that, but I feel that way sometimes. And I just don't want people to feel that way about our show.
Right.
So we try to keep the entertainment happening, especially like with special guests. This tour coming up, we're doing the Summer of Screams tour. Shitload of really good bands. Like Power Man, The Browning, Psycho Stick, Unsaid Fate. And Unsaid Fate has Jackie LaPanza, who is a very special guest in the Mushroom Head world. She does a couple of songs with us and as many tours as we can get her out on. And it's part of the theatrical element. The one song is called One More Day. And, you know, she's actually got the dress. And, you know, we bring out the snow machines and, it's got its own moment, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Adding to the you know, the theatrical end of it. She's a huge one. So you're going to see a lot of that collab going on. She'll probably do two or three songs with us on this upcoming tour. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then that starts August 17th, the same day our new Volume 3 DVD comes out, which is a long time coming. But, man, this DVD compared to the last two is it's done a little differently as far as the way it's laid out and the way it plays. It's more of a it's more cinematic. It's set up more like a film instead of, you know, here's a video and then some kooky behind the scenes antics and then another video and some kooky behind. That's kind of how the last ones were. They were modeled after the like Pantera home videos. This one is a little more like I said, cinematic, and it plays out more like a movie. I'm really happy about the way it came out. We're doing a premiere August 15th at the Cedar Lee Theater here in Cleveland. So I can actually get to see all this work on film or on a screen finally, you know. We're only doing two showings, one for cast and crew and then one for the public on the same day. But really looking forward to seeing it on the big screen. Spent a lot of time working on these videos, a lot of money. Learned a shitload too, so it was a good time.
Yeah, I got sent the link to it, and for some reason, I don't know if it was my phone or if it was something with the link or whatnot, but it was, from what I can tell, it looks amazing. But yeah, I definitely need to sit down and check it out because, you know, it was definitely, like everything you said, the visually stunning part was what I pulled from it too.
Yeah, that's the one with that tune. It's actually featuring Jackie Lapanzo as well. And it's basically the whole video is an Evil Dead tribute.
Right.
We're huge horror movie fans over here. So when we were going through treatment ideas, I was like, hey, let's make an Evil Dead movie. And I was like, what? I'm like, let's fucking spoof the Evil Dead, but not spoof it. Let's like do it like all of us. So like a lot of people don't even know this. I saw a review and they said it was cool that we had actors in the video. Well, those actors, those are the four singers in the song.
Nice.
That's Waylon, Jeff, Jay, and Jackie. And because we have them normal, like Jay grew in a beard, Waylon wore a wig, Jackie wore a wig. Jeff didn't really look any different. He never does. But so we dress them up as the people that go into the cabin to find the book, to play the tape and start, you know, getting possessed one by one and turning on each other. So it was kind of fun to have the singers all attack each other, you know, and film it and put it all together. But it's amazing how many people didn't put that together that, holy shit, that's the singers. And then when you cut to the rest of the band members, it's just like close-ups of us in our masks and stuff like that. We're not actually, it's not a performance video. There's, you won't see a guitar or drums in it. It's, you know, not one of those types of things, but a lot of people didn't catch that's the band member. That's the singers actually. They thought they were actors. Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Again, you know how much the masks play into it that people don't even really realize who's who.
At the beginning of this, you were talking about going to the Mushroom Head compound, you know, where the studio is and where the masks are made and stuff. I mean, how much time and effort does it take to actually get a, you know, say a new band member, you know, head to toe in costume? How long would it take to get a new mask and things like that made?
You know, it's a little bit of a process. Both of the new guys currently had their heads already head cast, you know, so when our sculptor Jason Kisner is doing the sculpts of these, they're actually done to each guy's head cast, so it fits them, you know, properly. It's not, you know, one guy's head's way too small and you got to wear that mask and it doesn't fit. That can take, depending on, you know, the inspiration and the idea behind it, you know, anywhere from 10 days to a month, maybe even more. And if we keep tweaking the mask and saying, it's too long here, it's too short there, or, you know, too round or what, I mean, that stuff can go on forever. So you've kind of got to have a good idea of what it is that you want. But when you add everyone together, there's, you know, seven members. So if you were to say on the quick turnaround around a month for each guy, that's 7 months straight of nonstop working a look. So it takes the majority of the year, because every album we do whole new looks. So, you know, it definitely takes the majority of, like I said, the majority of the time of when you're not in writing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of overseeing, or, you know, at least trying to help get the new look into into perspective. But yeah, for everyone, it's going to take about a year.
Wow. So you guys are technically, you know, maybe thinking about not even the next album, but even the album after that, you know, like where the Mushroom Head story will go, you know, with the mask and things like that.
Right. Absolutely. The mask thing is getting pretty big. We've kind of outgrown the area that we build in. So we've got another studio being built currently as we're speaking. So that whole thing should amp up, and it might not take a year at this point, because if we've got a better space to work, we can do more, you know, at once. So hopefully we can kick it out a little bit faster this time around.
The one thing I've always wondered about a band your size with so many moving parts going on, I know you guys are at a level now where this is probably isn't much of an issue, but I mean, I'm assuming back in the day, you know, you would show up to a club and the stage may not be big enough for everybody. How often was that an issue kind of coming up?
It is still an issue.
Yeah.
Like this Summer of Screams tour we're doing coming up here, it's got a lot of bands, you know, like Power Man and us, and there's quite a few folks. So there's going to have to be some gear sharing. You know, I'm sure our water drums are going to have to be off the stage until we're up. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be a lot of that sharing of the stage and sharing of backline. We're cool with it because, you know, we're not one of those bands that says, oh, the stage is ours, we have to have it. We would rather have a successful tour all the way around for everyone instead of us just having, you know, we're the headliner, so we get the whole stage and you guys can fuck off. We don't usually play that game. It's very much, all right, we will accommodate you however we possibly can. And we're going to try to make this the most successful and fun tour of our lives. So we deal with it quite a bit, even to where we've had to do a few shows without water drums. Nowhere near as fun, but sometimes it has to happen.
When you guys are booking tours, is it something you guys are advancing as part of the tour? Like, you know, we need this kind of square footage or
yeah,
that type of stuff.
Yeah. And then we get there and the stage is way smaller than it says in the contract. And yeah. Yeah. That's just part of where we're at when, you know, when you're on a club circuit tour.
Yeah.
That you can expect, you know, one of those doozies a week. And if you expect it and you kind of, you know, had a plan, you know, knowing that this is how it goes, then it's not that big of a deal when you get out there.
You ever show up to a club where basically the stage could only maybe fit just the drummer and the band has to play on the floor or anything like that?
Yeah. And then those are the ones we just show's canceled. Not going to do it, you know, because then yeah, it just becomes the band just doesn't even, it's not a proper presentation of itself. Like there's been tours we've turned down because we weren't allowed to have water drums. So it's like, well, that's part of the show. And if we're not going to have them, then you know what, we'll just pass. Cause I don't want to do like, you know, a C performance when you have an A ability, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have an opportunity to get in front of a crowd that's never seen you before, why give them, you know, a bullshit version of it to where, oh yeah, I saw those guys, they were okay. Instead of, holy shit, I saw those guys, they blew me away. I need the second response, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you only get one first crack at it, you know?
Oh yeah. There's probably bands I saw in the 90s that I'm still like, they're terrible. And it may not even be the same lineup, but,
absolutely.
You know, that's my impression of them.
Dude, I'm with you. It's weird. My styles taste, you know, and my styles and taste and music, and it's all changed. Like, you know, bands or artists that I, you know, either whether early 90s or whatever, I was like, ah, fuck them. I'm not a fan. I heard one song, didn't like it. Now I'm like, holy shit, Fiona Apple's amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of, like, I missed the whole boat, you know? I feel that way about Lacuna Coil a little bit. A couple years ago, I really got into them, and now fucking, I, you know, I own every fucking record, and I know every goddamn word. I was like, why didn't I like them fucking, you know, earlier? And it's just, you know, not all things click with all people at the same time. So yeah. I kind of like going backwards sometimes and going, holy shit, I missed this whole boat. How to, in this moment's another one.
Yeah.
That Blood album, that fuck, I mean, the last three have been amazing as far as production and that type of shit, but that album in particular, for when the time it came out, I'm like, how the fuck could I miss this record? There's some good tunes. The tones are awesome. Guitars are killer. vocals are mixed just right as far as pop metal. It's awesome, but missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands out there that are very popular, and you're like, why does everyone love this band? I just don't get it. And then one day, like, an earworm will get in you, and the next thing you know, you own every album and 3 t-shirts, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with the last 2 bands I mentioned. I fucking was like, man, now I get it. Sweet. I don't know if that's ever going to happen with that Ghost band. I've been trying.
That's the one that actually like kind of comes to mind, is because their latest single, like I haven't gotten into them at all. And a friend of mine is, you know, like the biggest Ghost fan you could ever find. And then the latest single, that Rats, I was like, that's a good ass song. And then now I'm like, all right, maybe I figured it out or something. But yeah, they're definitely an acquired taste.
Yeah, no, that's I'm, you know, like I said, that's another one that, you know, waiting for the lights to turn on. It might be a few years. It might not have. Who knows? But, you know, I'm very open for it, you know.
So how are you when, you know, there seem to be, I guess, a lot of advancements in latex technology and things like that, and maybe being able to make a mask is a little bit easier, or people that can make them are a little bit more accessible. So it seems like there are a lot more bands popping up that are wearing masks. You know, do you feel abundance is good in that thing, or are you like, come on, man, not another mask band?
Well, you know, I mean, it's nice to know that it's alive and well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for sure, you know, the desire for mask bands or just that type of entertainment is growing. I do like that. And I think he nailed it right on the head as far as more bands are doing it because it's more accessible. The internet, you know, all these how to, you know, it's not just sculpting a bunch of clay,
yeah,
getting it to fit on someone's head, it's making the mold and then the latex pouring process, finding companies that actually sell latex in abundance is much easier now. I think it's really cool, especially if bands can make it their own and do something, you know, kind of clever that stands out, you know, like we were just talking about, Ghost, you know, they've done some pretty cool things as far as the look, the, anonymity to it, to where he's just fucking, they're just nameless ghouls. Right. I mean, they don't even have fucking names at this time. So, you know, to me, some of that stuff is pretty clever and pretty cool. But, you know, it's very easy to try to hide your abilities with a gimmick, which is what I was told all through the 90s, that we just got a gimmick. I was like, well, that was part of what I was doing. We needed something else besides just standing up there with long hair, you know? So, you know, I'm into it. I wish more bands the best of luck. Anyone who wants to put a mask on and stand up there and sweat their asses off for an hour, you know, nothing but love for you. And careful what you wish for, because you might end up doing it for 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of talked about Kiss earlier, but I mean, you know, if Kiss didn't have the makeup, you know, would those songs stand up as well as they do? I'm a huge Kiss fan, but
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I guarantee you, because I am 47, I was born in 70, so Kiss was a huge influence on me. Mm-hmm. I fucking guarantee you I wouldn't have bought them if they didn't look that way, those records.
Right.
And as a kid with that kind of, you know, because I mean, you're talking in the 70s, there wasn't a whole lot of access to anything like that, mm-hmm, you know? Wasn't really ever a huge fan of their music, I will say that, but I love that look. I love that stage show. I love what it did to people who wanted it. Made me want to dress up like all of them, you know. Mm-hmm. I went through every phase of, you know, from Gene to fucking, well, I didn't do Paul, but I was very Gene and Ace, but as a kid, you know. So I truly don't think it would have did what it did without the makeup.
Yeah.
I don't think the songs were all that. I still don't, but I mean, you know, they're songs and, you know, you can sing them and it's commercial and kind of rock and roll, but it was all about that look and that energy of that show, you know, and that's definitely where I was headed when I said I want to make a mask band. You know, I want that theatrical element.
So
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm with you. I wouldn't have, there's no way I would have got into Kiss if they didn't have that look. If they look like fucking Uriah Heep and all the mothers, no, I wouldn't have bothered.
Even though they did, you know, they find those unearthed photos of them, you know, starting the band, and they you know, they looked pretty cool back in the day, but yeah, they definitely, you know, I don't know how many people probably got into the, you know, the look of the band before they even heard a note, so...
Yeah, I was 100% that little kid with the, you know, Alive One album, looking at it going, holy, what is this? I need to be in this world.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right, last couple questions, and I'll let you get on to your big thing here. But
no worries.
The, you know, obviously I went to Spotify today to kind of tone up on my mushroom head, and there's not a whole lot there. Is that something that
isn't that crazy how the industries work? You'll see the first couple Universal titles, and you'll see the first independent titles, I believe, but the last three albums on Megaforce are not there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it looked like the last thing on there was like 2003 or 2004.
Yeah. So those are the Universal titles. No, that's a Megaforce thing. Every label has their own. You know, deals with streamings and depending on what the, you know, your contractual obligations are. You know, we signed a deal with Megaforce years ago. And I mean, years ago, before the internet was a big, I mean, MySpace was still just starting. Right. So, I mean, we've been with those guys like 13, this will be our fourth album with them. I think 13 or 14 years we've been with them now. So our old deal really didn't have a whole lot of streaming. Now, because of the way the rights are set up, the Megaforce basically owns those records. Those are their titles, and they decide what streaming they want to put, whatever platforms they want to share with. For some reason, the Megaforce titles are not on there, and not really sure why, because I guarantee it's, you know, a loss of revenue on our end. But and everything has become streaming. But that is a that call is 100% the labels. And we don't really agree with it. We've voiced our opinion about having our records on every streaming platform possible, and they just don't see it our way. I mean, maybe it's just because they're old school and still want to sell physical units. I know also it gets weird in territories as well. Say, like, we were in Switzerland. I couldn't download one of my own records. Thought that was very strange, you know, but it's the same type of thing. Who gets the licensing rights in what territories? And it's rather unfortunate, because like I said, it's definitely not our call. If it was up to us, we'd be on every platform possible.
Yeah, it was very strange. And I mean, you know, with Spotify and things like that, you know, if it's not on Spotify, for a lot of people, it doesn't exist. You know, I had to go to YouTube and start watching videos to kind of catch back up.
Yeah, it starts sorting through it, and those aren't always the best. So, that's definitely a label call. It's the type of thing to write to your congress and let your local label congressman and tell him, hey, put Mushroom Head on Spotify. But it's not a Spotify thing. Like I said, that's a label call.
Right.
Because they own it. So, you know, we've had the conversation, but nothing's ever moved forward. But, hey, man, hopefully next year, it pops up on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, you know, new album, you know, might want to get that in order before it comes out, you know, so everybody can check it out that uses Spotify and on Apple Music and all that.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, you'll see a big splash once it does make it, because we'll tell everyone that, you know, it's a big deal. I've had this conversation many times, and unfortunately, like I said, it's out of our power.
All right, and the DVD Volume 3 out August 17th through the Megaforce. So we've already talked about it a little bit, but I mean, you know, anything else you would like to expand on the DVD release?
You know, I'm really proud of it. Like, it took, you know, a little while to put together, but we, you know, it's all DIY. We did it all ourselves. A couple of our, you know, really good camera buddies and a couple of our really good makeup buddies. Everyone really chipped in and did a fantastic job on all these videos. I really think that any hardcore Mushroomhead fan is going to like it. Anyone who really enjoyed the last album, because it's basically the last album cycle. It's the last 3 years, and the majority of those videos are off of the Righteous and the Butterfly album. So it's kind of a wrap up, and it, you know, brings us right up to the current time. So, yeah, come on out and check out the new lineup on the Summer of Screams tour. Starts August 17th, same day as Volume 3 DVD drops. Not sure what stores are going to carry it, because, you know, the whole Best Buy not carrying CDs and DVDs anymore is getting kind of weird. But I know it's available through Amazon, and I'll have signed copies at all the shows. So, man, come on out if that tour's anywhere in your area.
Absolutely. Well, Skinny Man, let's end this off with a Mushroom Head track. So what track would you like me to play?
Oh, how about We Are the Truth to go with the video?
Very cool. All right, guys, here's We Are the Truth by Mushroom Head. And Skinny, once again, man, thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it, brother.
Growing, breeding, as the armies mount dead and bleeding, tens of thousands, no concealing. There's a hunger yet no one's eating. You can promise, but our dreams had, and the rivers they all but blood red. How can you make all these speeches? No more lesson learned, you can reach us.
Hatred, growing, breeding, and the army is mouthing and bleeding.
What is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera from the band Nonpoint. And this is Rob's Pick from the Kid on the Talk to Me podcast. Thank you so much for tuning each week and listening to me blab and talk and go on and on about the music that I love. And thank you, Joshua, again, always for giving me this honor and privilege to be on your podcast and letting me talk to the people and bore people to death with my horrific voice. So anyway, this is about as close I'll ever get to a podcast, even though I have been thinking about it. People have approached me about it. People have approached me about a couple of things, about writing a book, about doing a podcast, and it's something that's in my head. It's just so time-consuming, especially writing a book and talking to my buddy Jared from Tapper. It took him like 4 years to do a fucking book. I don't know if I have 4 years of my life to give to some kind of a project like that, but it's in my head. So I'm definitely thinking about it. I've jotted a lot of stuff down, experiences of mine, and I think I may want to do a version of the book instead of a written one, so people can just hear me talk about this stuff. So, but anyway, want to give you some non-point news. We're going out on tour again. That's a damn surprise. August 21st, we head out with He Is Legend and Letters from the Fire. That goes all the way up to September 22nd, and that ends in Chicago. Starts in Lexington, Kentucky, the Manchester Music Hall, and ends at the Bottom Lounge in Chicago. So go to nonpoint.com, get all the tour dates, get the ticket links. These shows are going to be awesome. We're celebrating our album release on August 24th of our new album, X, which comes out on Spine Farm Records at the House of Blues in Orlando and Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. So August 24th, the day the album comes out, we're playing in Orlando at the House of Blues, and August 25th in Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. We may have it the day before for sale on August 23rd in Fort Myers. We're not certain. We may not. Who knows? So we have historically sold the record a couple days early. So who knows? It may happen, may not happen. So nonpoint.com has all that information. If you want to get any VIPs, go to nonpointstore.com and hit up the link. Hit that link. Check out those VIP packages that we got. Also, nonpoint.merchnow.com for all the pre-orders. If you pre-order the record on iTunes, whatever, you get free songs immediately. So anyway, let's get to my pick. I'm picking the band Merciful Fate from Denmark. I've been a fan of this band since I was in high school. Anyone who knows me knows that record Melissa by them is one of my absolute favorite albums of all time. And the first song I ever listened to was the song Evil. And there's a lot of satanic lyrical content on that album. And I don't pay too much attention to those lyrics, but I just can't see any other kind of lyrics that would be in that music. That's the lyrics, I think, that is called for the music. King Diamond's an incredible performer. I got to see Merciful Fate once in Fort Lauderdale at the old Chili Pepper, which is now Revolution Live. And I got to see King Diamond play with Metallica in Texas. They played a Merciful Fate medley. And I was standing next to Scott Ian, singing all the songs. And it was just, we were just both reliving our teenage years. It was cool to, we didn't really talk, but it was just cool to see us both singing all the songs at the same time. And it was really, really cool. So anyway, this is Merciful Fate with the song Evil.
LB Anselmo, and you are listening to Talk to Me with Joshua.
And thank you, Phil Anselmo, for bringing us back in. Man, we have been watching so much Phil Anselmo live talk. It is quite possibly the funniest stuff to ever watch. If you ever want to take some time, fall down a YouTube rabbit hole. Get on YouTube and just click in like Phil's greatest moments on stage. And one of them is not even with Pantera. I think it's with Down, where he's like telling the crowd to headbang. And he's like, I'm watching you like a vulture, man. Like, who does that? That's the greatest stage banter I've ever heard. Terrible stage banter, on the other hand, was the other night with Smashing Pumpkins. James Iha does not need to be talking in between songs. Phil Anselmo, he is not. But a huge thank you to Skinny from Mushroom Head. Huge thank you to Rob Rivera for calling in this week from his from the kit. He might have even been behind his drum kit. You never know. And also a huge thank you to Scott Bowling down there at Good Company with Bowling in Atlanta, Georgia. Make sure and check him out on YouTube and tell him that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. So I think this week I will leave you guys with a brand new non-point track. And so for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey. Thank you guys for checking it out each and every week. And I will talk to you guys next Thursday.
Black operations of the money, colored black. Dark labs getting spun, so politically correct. Watching everybody fight each other. Sister versus brother. Peace versus war. Rich against the poor. Different versus different. Bad versus the floor. Wall versus the door. Sure, black, water, black, money, black. Money back in green, back in season. Spring falling, summer time for all natural reasons. Wanna decide which side you're gonna do, or which evil side is upon us this time. Mind your business, stay in line. Find your calling, enterprise. Cut your way off the red tape. Leaving things in a state of chaos and earthquakes. Chaos and earthquakes. Cutting away off the red tape. Leaving things in a state of chaos and earthquakes. Chaos and earthquakes.
This is maniacal. Entire societies are falling without a net underneath them with no one digging them out. The fire has gotten out of control. We got no water, no buckets, and we're lucky if tomorrow comes. Why is it important anymore? So I'd like to know that need to know information, but when I know it, what reactions will it cause when they finally show up, dressed up, amped up in a black car? Wanna decide which side you're gonna go, know which evil side is upon us this time. Mind your business, stay in line, find your glory, enterprise.